We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, the doctor is on the line. We'll go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Dr. Chuck Metzger, he's a board-certified internist in Boca Raton. He's been the team doctor for FAU Athletics and chief of medicine at Boca Raton Regional Hospital. He's a clinical affiliate faculty member for FAU Medical School, and he's been in private practice in Boca Raton since 1999. You could follow him on Twitter, at Chuck Metzger. He joins us every Monday with a COVID-19 update. Things are, skyrocketing over the weekend. I just saw something on Twitter that the obituaries in Houston, in the Houston Chronicle, the obituaries were 43 pages today. I'm so disappointed in us, but maybe Dr. Chuck can talk us all off the ledge. So what are the latest numbers? We always start with that. Actual latest COVID numbers for Monroe, Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties.
Yeah, so for July 13th, the numbers are as such. Monroe County has 572 reported cases with six reported deaths. So that number's come up quite a bit.
By the way, this is since the beginning in March, right?
Yes, yes.
Like, that's total numbers since this all started. Yeah,
yeah. That's not day by day. That's cumulative. Exactly. So that's going back 4 months. Just about four months. Dade County has the most at 443 cases with 1,139 deaths. Broward County, 30,025 cases, 464 deaths. And Palm Beach County with 21,016 cases with 606 deaths reported to date.
So Florida, now over the weekend, Florida announced over 15,000 positives in one day, which shattered a record. I know this is a toxic question, but do you think Florida would benefit from a shelter-in-place order for a couple of weeks just to try and tamp down the numbers? Because it seems like we're doing, you know, the Band-Aid thing, but the patient is bleeding out. Like, maybe I'm wrong.
No, I see what you mean. I mean, it's getting to a point where you feel like you're kind of sitting in a room and the water is kind of climbing up on you, you know, and you want to know what to do. You start to get a little nervous and want to kind of get out of the room or find some other higher ground. And you're right, that's a natural. The way I would look at it is it's always hard to make these kind of calls on when you're dealing with so many different variables. Obviously, the most important thing is the livelihood of the people that live here. One of the things that comes to mind as I would consider applying it would be, you know, kind of like a triage. So, you know, triage is a term we use, and someone comes to like to visit like the emergency room, you see the sickest patients, you address them first. So the sickest counties I would address first. So obviously Miami and Broward come to mind just because they have the most cases. Certainly Palm Beach, where I live, would be a consideration as well. Obviously, we've gone over this a few times. The reason we would want to do all this stuff is to avoid, not only we don't want people to get sick, of course, but we also want to limit the strain on the hospitals. There's no question that in Dade County, I know some docs that work in the hospitals in Dade County, there's definitely a problem. There's definitely crowding. There's a lot more cases of hospitalized patients. There's no question that there are better protocols in place than there were 3 months ago in terms of how patients are addressed, and I've talked with intensive care doctors about what they do to manage them, and actually the doctors in the hospital or the hospitalists who are seeing these patients have the protocol. So it's a tough call because these types of things don't tend to go up a little bit at a time. They tend to go up kind of exponentially when you have a contagious disease. So the numbers jump and then jump, and it's shocking. So it's a tough call. I would say, gosh, at this point, I would consider, you know, kind of ground zero would be like Dade County, and consider that area first. But it is such a tough call because it affects so many people that, you know, some people who feel like, gosh, my livelihood is on the line in terms of my income. I understand that there's a risk of someone getting infected, but I don't know what, you know, it's kind of like a difficult, you know, call to make either way. But I would probably start with Dade County first, just because they have essentially more deaths and more cases than do Broward and Palm Beach. And so they're the highest number.
Now, Governor DeSantis has made it loud and clear he wants students in schools. He does not want virtual classes this fall. What's your opinion on that?
So, again, another tough call. You know, I would look at a place like Dade County, and again, this affects so many people. So I get why there are so many different opinions, because they bring your, you bring your own perspective into these things. But if you look at Dade County, you really worry about, you know, those the people that would go to the schools, you know, the teachers, the parents picking them up and all that. You know, are we really going to be able to socially distance in small classes with young children who, you know, maybe, you know, may don't understand the ramifications of everything? So you're going to have, you know, first, second, third, fourth, fifth graders who have to wear masks and socially distance when they're not used to any of that. Because right now at home, they're not wearing masks and they're not socially distancing. They're around their family and friends. And part of when I first saw this happen 3 months ago, my first thought was, okay, it sounds great. We're taking everyone, you know, so there's another side to this. You take everyone out of the schools and they go home. Well, you're going to sit at home for the next 2 or 3 months and never see your friends. It's really going to be impossible to do that too. So essentially they get exposed to each other in the playground or when they go to a friend's house or those types of thing, which is actually what's happening, is, you know, I have young kids, I have 4 kids, and, you know, invariably we hear about a story where someone went over to a friend's house, you know, the next day we get a call, oh, our friend got tested for COVID and they're positive. Now you got to isolate it, you know, so it's very hard to keep track either way. So it's this kind of balance, and again, I would probably look at Dade first as to, you know, whether to consider, you know, being online or some variants of that. As the numbers go up, you know, we still got, what, 3-4 weeks before this really becomes, the school is really about to start. It's hard to imagine it's going to go down. So if it's up even higher, it's going to be hard to argue for staying in classes, certainly in Dade County. The other two counties, maybe there's a chance, but my gosh, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, Dr. Chuck Metzger is with us, joins us every Monday with COVID-19 questions and answers. So the stock market ended up barely up on the Dow today, and it was way down on the NASDAQ. But at the beginning of the day, the market really popped this morning, and it was based on some potential vaccine news. From CNBC.com, what they wrote was two experimental coronavirus vaccines jointly developed by the German biotech firm BioNTech and the U.S. pharmaceutical giant Pfizer have received fast-track designation from the U.S. drug regulator, and the candidates of the drugs, their BNT, whatever, blah, 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 are the most advanced of at least 4 vaccines being assessed by companies in ongoing trials in the United States and Germany. Anytime you get any kind of positive news with vaccines, the market jumps. Then when you get negative news, the market pulled back today because California announced that they are now going to close restaurants, and the market reacted in kind to no, you know, largest state rolling back some of their openings. So I ask you, though, what do we know about any potential vaccines or treatments, maybe the ones today that Pfizer announced or ones that have been in the news for the last few days? Is there anything on the positive front?
So the situation that you're talking about was between Pfizer and a company called BioNTech, which is a pretty cool name. So it's a German company, and so they kind of, you know, put their resources together, which are quite substantial. The initial studies showed that there was a very good neutralizing antibody response. So that's the key. We talk about antibodies. Neutralizing antibodies are what we want because that's what really stops the virus. So they had a very good initial studies from that, which is what got them to the point where they were then approved for this fast track status, which was a huge boon to them. And they feel like they'll have data and the ability to start producing a large amount. They're basically putting $1 billion on the line. They may lose it all, they said, but basically $1 billion to start producing the vaccine so that by October, if they have data they will that shows that it's beneficial and ready to be given, they'll have produced, they think this year, by the end of the year, they can produce several hundred million vaccines, which is, of course, very, very good. That would be great news. They don't have much more data than that. They're going to start on a study of about 30,000 patients later this month, and they hope that, so that'd be kind of the phase three trial. Phase three is kind of what we need to show the efficacy or the effectiveness of the vaccine to then allow it to, if the data is good enough, for the FDA to approve it. And if they do that in October and they're ready to go, that would be huge. That would start to turn things around significantly. Now, that 100 million vaccine doses sound like a lot. It would quickly be absorbed. And so they actually talked about in one of these other articles related to this, what they would have to do to basically kind of prioritize, kind of triage, like I said before, prioritize who they're going to give this to. And so that's kind of the crux of what's happened. But basically, it's an American company, Pfizer, and this BioNTech German company have these couple of vaccines that they're trying to bring together. And over the next 3 months, starting later this month, they'll have 30,000 vaccines. Candidates vaccinated over a period of 3 months and see how they do. So we'll see. We'll know more probably in about 3 months, it sounds like.
Doc, you mentioned earlier hearing some, news about troubling hospital situations down in Dade County. How's the hospital situation overall in South Florida? We're starting to hear about a lack of ICU beds in a number of hospitals, in the hot spot. But how are things now in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, including your hospital?
So Dade, Broward, certainly Dade is the part that concerns me the most. There's definitely, there are areas that have fewer than 10% of their ICU beds and hospital beds. Again, there are different reasons why patients will be in the ICU. So it doesn't mean that they're all COVID cases. In fact, they're probably, I know they're not. But it does put a larger strain on people who also need to be in the ICU. Because what happens is you have a patient with coronavirus, it limits the amount of nursing that they can provide to other to other patients because they have to be they spend so much more time with individual patients who have coronavirus, especially if they're quite ill. So that makes it very difficult. In fact, there are areas of Dade County that are renting out convention centers just for bed capacity. And again, you can put 2,000, 3,000, even 4,000 beds if you wanted into an area. The issue is, do you have enough nurses? So they're hiring nurses like crazy. Now they got to make sure that those nurses are ICU trained because these are going to be very sick patients. So it's a very, very complex case and situation in Dade County. In Broward, I'm a little less concerned. And in Palm Beach, there are areas. So I go to Boca Raton Regional Hospital. In speaking with the intensive care doctors and the local hospital doctors and just my own experiences, there are some cases. There are a modest amount of hospital cases, and there are a small amount of ICU cases, just in my own kind of review of what we have here in the Boca Raton area. So it's there. It's not overwhelming. I think that the protocols and things that the doctors, treatment plans that doctors can come up with, just from the experience of the last 3 to 4 months, where they use dexamethasone and there's a medicine called remdesivir that we have more availability of, it's reduced the number of patients who have had to go on ventilators, which is generally the reason you're going to be in the ICU. So I think that gives us some hope because it can give people a chance. Before, we felt like people had far, far less of a chance when they got really sick from coronavirus. So it's bad. It's getting worse. It's not terrible. And I don't think there are areas in other parts other than maybe in some areas of Miami-Dade that are in the kind of overwhelmed area yet. I think they're strained, but not, in the Miami-Dade area, but not overwhelmed, except maybe in a few places. But that's basically what I see it as in just my, own, evaluation.
Dr. Chuck Metzger, he's a board-certified internist in Boca Raton. He's been the team doctor for FAU Athletics, chief of medicine at Boca Raton Regional Hospital. He's a clinical affiliate faculty member for FAU Medical School, and you can follow him on Twitter, at Chuck Metzger. Always appreciate your time on Mondays. Do I have this straight? Solana told us before you came on that you agreed with him that Burger King fries belong on the Mount Rushmore of French fries.
So now listen, don't at me here, but those fries, they're like a thicker fry. And if you put those
terrible
in their milkshakes, so if you dip that in a good chocolate milkshake, your day is made.
God.
Your day is made.
You are 6 years old.
Right.
You told us a couple weeks ago, you ordered, I shared the story. that you would do the Duffy's. He goes to Duffy's with me. He orders the kids' cupcakes, do-it-yourself cupcakes, so that he could frost them himself and put the little gummy bears on them. And now you're telling me that you like Burger King fries because you could dip them in your milkshakes? I mean, is this the movie Big? Are you really a doctor, or did you just make a wish over at Boomer's?
Listen, all I can tell you is I've lived a great life. Not that it's over. I'm just in the middle of it. I don't know where I'm going with that. I don't know where I'm going with that. But that was a big part of it, was the Burger King fries and chocolate milkshakes, just a big thing. And then
Burger King fries are terrible.
The best.
Just terrible.
Glad we agree to disagree.
Just terrible. Have to question everything that you've told us. Dr. Chuck Metzger. Thank you, Dr. Chuck.
All right, guys. Doctor.
All right. He joins us every Monday. Go give him hell on Twitter at Chuck Metzger.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.